Blog Talk Radio.
Another fantastic edition of Real Life Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Tarand. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Desiree Michelle. Hey, Des, how's it going?
Great, Jerry. I'm super happy to be here.
Yay. So I'm excited about today's show because I just, you know, we're thinking just yesterday, okay, what are we going to do this show on? And both of us were sitting there like, I don't know. And I just thought, you know, I've never really interviewed you about, I mean, you're doing so much right now and you've really stepped into your own and stepped into like your passion and your purpose and really defining that. And I know you've already gotten out there in a big way. You're helping a ton of people with the business that you've set up. And so I want to hear more. I want to hear how it's going, how it came about. You know, what are you helping people with? And I just like, I want to promote you big time because you are amazing. You have helped me. I can't even tell you how much you've helped me in my life. Just get more clear. You've been a huge support and your gifts are amazing. So I want to get you out there. I want to get out this Delightful by Design is amazing because it's way more than just home decorating, home staging, and wardrobe consulting. You are a life coach. And so this really is, to me, about coaching people to design the life that they are meant to live, like the one that every morning they jump out of bed for. And they're excited about. And I mean, everything is wrapped into this. It's so huge what you're doing because, like I said, it's way beyond what's reflected, you know, on your website and that kind of thing. Because I mean, I've known you for years now, and there's like so much underneath that's going to come out in this process. And I know with the clients that have worked with you, including myself, that the life lessons and like it carries over into relationships, into everything. So it's not just about decluttering your home or clearing space. It's like really is designing your life. And you can start, and it starts easy, right? It starts like,
yeah,
let's just look at your home. Let's look at let's look in your closet.
You're literally
like,
closet.
Dig out some of these old skeletons and see, you know, what does this represent? What's going on here, really? I mean, you work with Des, and I'm telling you, you're going to get so much more than you realize when you first sign up for this. So, so Desiree.
Yes, Sherry.
I would love for you to share with us a little bit about your journey and what are some of those defining moments that led you to where you are today and the development of, you know, designing your life and your business, Delightful by Design. What led you to this? What are some of those moments that brought you here?
Gosh, well, first of all, what an awesome introduction. Thank you. Like, well,
you're welcome.
We're good.
I
so
love
it was a
you.
Great episode. In fact, so just I definitely will answer your question, but first I just want to give you some kudos. Like, so audience, beloved listeners, I have to tell you, so I've been developing this business for about I guess we're going on 9 months, like it sort of this little seed that planted at the beginning of the year, and I've been slowly letting it germinate. And really it's only over the last month, maybe 2 months, that I've really been like, okay, it's time to burst this thing into the world for realsies. But I've been really struggling with, well, what is it that I'm doing? And Jerry, in your write-up and just in your introduction now, I'm like, thank you for reflecting back to me. Like, thank you for succinctly explaining in a nutshell what it is that I'm doing. And it's like you looked into my heart and you looked into our conversations we've had and you plucked out the kernel. You plucked up the seed that's in my heart and you just described it. And thank you so much for that, because I've been needing that succinct, like, this is what it is. Like you had mentioned in our little previous conversation, sometimes it's really hard to see the underlying theme, because inside ourselves, because we have so much words in our head and we have so many interconnected ideas in our mind. And that is what I do for other people. And it starts with their home. So, you know, it's the exact same thing, because we often have all this stuff in our homes or in our closets and we have all these ideas, but they're not connected. They're just like, well, they are, but it just seems like this cluttered, chaotic, disconnected mess. And what I love to do is to come in and do what you just did for me, only I'm doing it with your physical things, and be like, okay, so there is an underlying theme here, guys. Like, there is a song in your heart, and let me show you what it is. And then together we're going to work to take out what's in the way of that, get really clear on what it is, and then that from that you know exactly what to bring in, whether it's for clothes, whether it's for items in your house, whether it's relationships, whether it's maybe it's a career change. I mean, all of this stuff is so interconnected. So how did I get here?
Mm.
Gosh, what a question. You know what's so funny? What's so funny is, so I was doing my own coaching call yesterday. Like, I was getting coached yesterday. And I was struggling, yeah, like, with explaining to her. I'm like, this is the block I'm running into. I don't know how to succinctly explain what I'm doing, because I don't want to scare people off and make it sound like it's too complicated. Right? But at the same time, I don't want it to be so simple that the depth is missed, because you're right. It is. I'm not just decorating somebody's house. I mean, it's not even, it's like,
yeah,
yes.
That is
really,
like,
you know?
Just the icing.
Yes.
The icing on the cake.
Really?
Are you kidding me? There's a whole cake underneath.
There's this whole cake. And I've been struggling. How do I express that? How do I market that? And how do I get that theme out? And so I'm talking to my coach about it. And she's like, Desiree, you're kind of like doing branding, but for like their physical self. Like, there's online branding. Like, this is who, because the idea is that it is supposed to be authentic, that if a person meets you online, quote unquote, that if they were to meet you in person, there would be no disconnect at all. It would be like, yeah, this is exactly who I expected you to be based on the stuff I was reading, the posts that you were posting, the pictures that you have. Like, there's no disconnect. Like, you're in complete alignment. The real you is in alignment with your online you. Like, you know that old song, So Much Cooler Online?
Yeah.
The idea is to not have that. The idea is that you are just as cool in person as you are online, because I think we're all cool. And if you're a nerdy little geek, then awesome. Your online nerdy little geekness should shine online. And it should shine in your home, right? So there's no disconnect. It's like, who you are online, who you are in person, and who you are in the intimacy of your home is all the same thing. It's just varying degrees or depths of intimacy, right?
Yes.
You following so far? So
beautifully
my
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so my journey.
Don't we all need
this? is getting myself in alignment with myself, because it is okay to have a vision of yourself, like to have a vision of your life or how you imagine your best self showing up. And I don't mean necessarily your most publicly appreciated or publicly applauded self, but your version of your best self, which incidentally, as a side note, will be publicly applauded. But that's not the point, right? The point is, who is this version of myself? What does she look like? How does she talk? What is she doing? What is she surrounded by for her physical environment, including what kind of clothes does she wear? What kind of friends does she have? What sort of places, where does she go? What kind of work does she have? Like, And I used to think that I was faking that, that that wasn't okay to do that, that it wasn't okay to have this, like, ideal version and then line up my life with it.
Mm.
But it is. It's just that it needs to come from an authentic expression of your heart song as opposed to what's going to get me the most amount of approval. And that's where my journey has been, because prior to recent, prior to recently, like over the last, let's call it, I don't know, I want to say 6 or 7 years. Well, more than that, but really, you know, since 2006, I had this, a whole bunch of truth came out in 06. I'd been lying about everything. I was living this whole plastic life, and a lot of our listeners already know our story, but I had this idea of what the perfect wife would look like and the perfect mother would, you know, how would she show up, and the perfect woman, you know, what does she look like and what is she doing? Not my version of these things, but what I imagined from my my cultural raising, you know, what do I think out there would see as being the ideal mom, the ideal woman, the ideal wife, the ideal home, the ideal roles, and what does that look like and how does she show up? And you know if you're on track. You know if you're living some idealized version that's authentic or not, because if you're trying to live a fake one, you're exhausted all the time. You're angry all the time. Mm-hmm. You're probably – even it, so because my house wasn't cluttered. I've never lived in a cluttered house, but it was actually the opposite. It was like Spartan. There was like no personality in it because I was trying so hard to be generic. Do you know what I mean? So that I could appeal to everybody. There was none of me in it because so that's where the business stemmed from, was this wanting deeply to empower women in particular, because I so resonate with what it's like to be a mom. You know, I know what it's like to be a mom and to want to have an impact in the world, but to also be trying to juggle that with motherhood. I know what it's like to be a wife or a spouse or a partner, I mean, and trying to juggle that. All while not losing your own flavor, your own spice. And it's so Delightful by Design is about helping women primarily get really clear with what is their spice, what is that song inside their heart, and then reverse engineering, like so what does your life look like if you were really living from that place? Because it's so easy for women to, oh, well, I would do that except for my kids, or, well, I would do that, but my spouse won't approve of that. Or, well, I really would love to have this life, but, you know, insert reason why you're not allowed to have that here. And I did that for so many years. And the joy of me and the gift of me and my real, like the gift I came to give and the nourishment that I came to nourish wasn't able to express itself while I was busy worrying about what everyone else would think about me, including my kids and including my spouse. And so the whole Delightful by Design thing is about helping women tap into their core strengths, their zone of genius, and trust the process of serving from there, because that's where they can really serve with deep purpose, with sustainability, because it feeds back into itself. So rather than serving from the state of depletion and resentment and exhaustion and lack of clarity, they feel supported because they're supporting yourself, right? You're really finally listening to that song, and you're structuring your physical life around you based on that song, and you're inviting in relationships and saying goodbye to things, stuff and relationships that are not in alignment with that song, that are not supportive of that song. And that's, so it is this life coaching thing. Delightful by Design is a life coaching thing, but it starts with the easy stuff, like literally just your closet, just your furniture.
It's doable. Let's chunk it down here and let's just get started. And I mean, I'm listening to you and I could almost feel my heart pounding, like, oh my God, this is big. This is scary, right? Like even when you say your home, to find the spice that is you, and so that you feel like, like this space, these clothes are fabulously me,
And I feel nervous. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, but what if it doesn't turn out? Like, I mean, I would love to put some splashes of color and rearrange some lots of things, you know? And I think, oh, my God, but it's nerve-wracking. And it's probably, you know, and it's the same thing that's showing up why you're not really doing what you're meant to do and living your passion and quitting that job and just saying, yeah, no, I'm going to just go for what I love. You know, the same reason why we don't decorate our home that way and and dress that way.
Totally.
There's this piece that feels almost too bold.
Yes.
What
well, you know
people
what happens
think?
When you stick your head
what
up?
What if it doesn't
right?
work?
You're the what if you stick your head out of the crowd? You know, you're the one that's going to get blamed. You're the one that's going to get the tomato on your face. You're the one that's going to get, you know, trussed up on the stake and burned. I mean, these are the subconscious fears that happen. And you're right. It is heart pounding. It is oh, my God, if I step out, people, what if I'm not approved of? Or what if I step out and it's not quite right and I want to change it? Oh, my God, then what? Oh, the shame.
Yeah. We could change the paint. It's okay. You could buy new clothes. So, yeah, start simple. Get used to that whole idea.
Yeah.
And then how amazing, like, when it starts to transfer to everything in your life, when you start to gain that confidence just from, you know, playing around with one room, right?
Yes.
A few outfits.
Or your wardrobe a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, super cool. Like this, yeah, I just, oh, my God, I love the way that you describe it because it is such a key piece. Like, and you do make it doable for people. You're very gentle. You know, when you came into my closet, I thought, oh, my God. I almost canceled. I don't even know how many times, right? But you're going to look in and you're going to see that I have no fashion sense and I still have stuff from like practically high school in there, you know, and just, you're going to tell me that it's all awful and to get rid of it all. And you're like, wow, you have so much to work with here. Oh my God. And yeah, the things you put together and the way you went about it was like very gentle and loving. And I just, yeah, I felt really good after. So I just super appreciate you and your mannerisms and the way that you go about things. So I want to just ask you, what does it look like then? If you can maybe tell people, so people hire you, you come into their house, what does that consultation look like? What are some of the steps that you'll lead them through that maybe they can get started right now?
Great,
you know,
question.
So they can
thank
ready
you.
Themselves.
So thank you. Yeah, no, that's a wonderful question. And so basically there I have a write-up on my Facebook page, but I'm just going to reiterate it here really quick. So there definitely is a very practical like formula for how to weed out your closet even before I get there, because most people have a too much problem. They think they don't have enough, or they don't have enough creativity, or they don't have enough time, or they don't have enough space in their closet. But actually what it is there's just literally too much. There's just too much stuff. So to begin with, really weeding out the obvious ones, because that we can typically do by ourselves without any coaching. Like, you know, if a person goes into their closet and the formula is like this, you go in, you grab an item off the shelf and you look at it and you ask yourself three questions. The first question is, do I love this? Like, when I look at it, do I get excited by it? Do I feel sexy in it? Do I love the way it feels? Is there something about the pattern that I just love? Yes or no, right? The second question is, when's the last time I wore it? And if you have not worn it in the last year, 1 year, 12-month period, then get rid of it. Because if you haven't worn it in a year, you're not likely to wear it. And it is scary, right? It is scary, but because the fear is like, oh my gosh, well, but maybe I will need it in the next year. But its odds are, listen, you probably don't, right? And even if you did need another piece that's similar to that, well, then you can go shopping later, right? But the biggest thing is making space. Because if we don't make space, that's like inhaling. If you don't breathe in, if you don't, you can't exhale. And if the idea is I want to create a space for myself that I feel I can see myself in. You have to weed out the stuff. You got to weed out the words. You got to weed out the thoughts, and you got to weed out the stuff in your closet that isn't, you're not using it and you don't need it. Like, you can trust that there's a reason why you haven't been using it. So weeding through the piles, you've got, do I love it? Yes or no? Because if it's no, I mean, that's a given, right? Like, just toss it and don't even start second guessing yourself. Like, do you love it? No, put it in the no pile, right? And then the third question is, you know, you wind up being like, so do you love it? Yes or no? Have you worn it in the last year? Yes or no? Odds are you're going to come up with a, well, right? So go ahead and have a not sure pile. But the idea is to do this really fast. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid, because that's where we, you know, I get it. I overthink the shit out of everything, right? So you got to go fast. That's the trick. So you go really fast. Do I love it? Yes or no? Have I worn it in the last year? Yes or no? And create, and you're still going to wind up with these three piles, because invariably we do. We've got the, oh my God, I love it pile, the, ugh, I don't even know why I've hung on to this for so long pile. And then there's going to be this middle pile that's like, well, I'm not sure.
Well, I love it, but it doesn't quite fit. It's a little snug, but I'm going to lose those few extra pounds.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't worn it for 5 years, I love it. It looks so good on me when I fit into it.
When I fit into it, which is basically you saying to yourself, you know what, you're not good enough right now. But hey, fatty, you will be in a few pounds. Like, does anyone need, it's like every time you look at that item of clothing in your closet and you have that, the thought of, oh, that looks so good on me, 5 pounds. It's basically like having this little goblin in there that's like, yeah, you're not good enough now. You were then, but not so much right now.
Goblin. I love it. Like, you know, the goblin too, like that nasty thinking, right? Does it represent that thought that you're not good enough?
Yes.
Get rid of it.
And it does.
I love
that. I'm telling you it does. Yeah. So, but let's say it's not that. Let's say it's, you know, get rid of it. Throw it in the no pile. So next, so you pick up the next item, you're like, oh, now I know I haven't worn this in a couple of years, and you know, I don't really necessarily love it, but God, I just can't let go of it because it was expensive when I bought it. Or, well, so-and-so gave it to me, and they would be offended if I got rid of it. Mm. Like, they haven't even seen you in it in 2 years, but whatever. I mean, it's still a thought. We get it, right? We all – so hold the item.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the magic right here. Hold the item and say, if I did not currently own this item, how much would I pay for it today to add it to my closet?
Oh, my God.
And it usually clears the fog, because honestly, if you're, like, thinking $5 or, well, nothing – you know what? Get rid of it, right? So it helps clear the fog. But if you're like, oh my God, well, I'd spend $700 to own this jacket. Well, you know what? Then add it to your love pile, because obviously you love it.
Mm-hmm.
See, so this is a really lovely thing that people can start on themselves at home without a coach. This week, you know, set a date that I'm going to weed through, even if you just pick the section of your closet, you know? Because for some people, they've got big closets and there's a lot in there, and it's like, oh, the idea of weeding through all of it's just too much. But to maybe start with a section. But usually what happens is this, like, momentum happens and this excitement builds, and where the space is starting to get created, our wings start to unfurl a little bit and we start to get excited about that feeling, and we want a little more space for more of that wing unfurling to happen. And it's this really neat process, but first you've got to get over that hump, right? Like, you know, to use the cocoon and the wing metaphor, first you've got to break through that cocoon at least a little bit to get a glimpse that there's light outside of the cocoon, that it's safe outside that cocoon. And it's worth pushing through that discomfort of letting go of some of that stuff, the fear of loss that comes up. And that's why we hang on to a lot of our limiting beliefs too, is we're afraid of losing them, like, but they're saving us, or I might need that one day, or it's protecting me from looking foolish, or it's protecting me from being naked, from not having the right outfit. You know, I mean, I get the thinking, but it's not actually serving you. It's limiting you. It's like weighing you down and keeping your wings tucked close to you and isn't actually serving anymore. So that's what that process is about.
Wow. See, it is. It's all life coaching. You want to, you know, let go of those limiting beliefs. Do this process because it'll help you identify what those are. Everything that's holding you back in everything, in every area of your life. Like,
it's
wow.
amazing. It's so cool. Like, so, you know, I did my jump drawer tutorial a couple of weeks ago. You remember that?
Yeah.
My drawer of awesomeness. I weeded through that. This is the other connection. So there's the limiting beliefs that are holding us back from putting ourselves out there. But maybe sometimes people are kind of like they're out there. They're trying to get out there. But it feels like they're just trying and trying and trying, and there's not really anything coming back in, right? Like they're not getting those clients. They're not getting those phone calls. They're not getting those invitations to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
Physically clearing
lots of
out
frustration.
My junk drawer. Yeah, but physically clearing out my junk drawer, all of a sudden my phone started ringing. All of a sudden I was starting to get business into my business. And I'm like, well, that was weird. But it isn't really.
Because you didn't have room for it before.
I didn't. I didn't have room for it. And who would have thought my junk drawer would have been the metaphor for that? You know, I didn't. I did on some level. I knew if I had emptied out
one
some
drawer.
Of this stuff. Because, yes, one drawer. How much of an effect can that have, really? But it does. It works on a metaphysical level. Because it was like, now I felt empowered. I knew if I was to get a phone call, right, for a job, I could open the drawer and right there would be the pad of paper and the pen I needed to jot down the information for that client. I wasn't worried that I was not prepared because that was actually what was holding me back. But I didn't realize that until I cleared out my junk drawer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, and I often, like when I say yes, you know, the people will call me for the clients and that, and I actually have some guilt because I'm like, God, you know, I have so much work to do around the house. And I think about some of the clutter spaces and so then I can never be fully present and really give it my all and just say, yes, I mean, I have all of these open spots. There's nothing else that I feel like I should be doing, you know, because it almost feels like I have to do that first, but you can still work in conjunction. I mean, as you're clearing the clutter, you do, you know, it's okay to coach while you're doing that because it's not
absolutely.
Like, I mean, you're still a step ahead in a lot of ways. So I have let that hold me back sometimes too, where I'm just like, I have no business coaching anyone or doing these workshops when look at, like, I've got this horrible, you know, messy closet and garage that I haven't dealt with. So I really shouldn't be until I'm totally ready. And so you don't want to do that either.
No. Well, you're never ready. None of us are ever totally ready. It's more about getting okay with, well, who can I serve? Who's that half a step behind me or who, you know, is looking for what I have managed to, you know, get a handle on, even if it's only one section of my life, you know? I've only managed to really get a handle on one section of my life. Well, who doesn't have a handle on that section? You know, who's looking for a little guidance in that one area? Like, honest to God, nobody, you know, even Oprah probably has a mess somewhere, you know, figuratively or literally, nobody is perfect. And I think it's including myself, including these like really high, highly evolved or highly achieved or successful people in the world. We're all just works in progress. And I think knowing that deep in my heart is part of what makes the process so, like you said, it's gentle and loving. Because I'm not coming in there expecting people to be perfect or chastising them for failing to, I don't know, achieve some level of whatever, perfection. Because I have owned my own lack of perfection. I get it. I mean, I screw up all the time. I'm often embarrassed. I often put my foot in my mouth. I you know, my pantry still needs doing, FYI world, you know, and so does my, you know, my filing I need to organize a little. Like, there's still these things that are not perfect, and it's okay because it's just about being in process. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not being worried about achieving the state of perfection that we're expected to maintain, but rather just being willing to start it and to just keep making little baby steps of clearing it out, inviting in what we want, clearing out what we don't need. You know, and just that process, right?
Awesome. Well, that's an awesome place to end because we only have 30 seconds left.
Oh my gosh.
Just that little nudge, that little nudge to get started. And I think this was a brilliant call. And thank you. Like, thank you so much because I actually do feel a surge of inspiration and motivated to go back in my closet and have a look. So, love you so
much. Thanks so much, Jerry. Love you.
Okay. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a great, great day.
See you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.